Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar, known for delivering solar excellence since 1984 and recently voted best solar company in Marin County. We're also brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco, offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Coming up, we'll break away from our San Francisco Giants talk and get into statistics, as we will talk with some of the best stats people in the sports broadcasting industry as part of our webcast podcast that we're doing. And by the way, you can check those out on YouTube and on the sportsvirus.com Facebook page. We'll be talking with Ethan Cooperson, who is a research analyst for Stats Perform and also is the lead statistician for Jim Nantz on the NFL on CBS. And we'll be talking with Joe Buck's stats man, Ed Spieda, who works for Fox Sports. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course here at thesportsvirus.com. That is TPC Harding Park. And TPC Harding Park closed right now per the city-county shelter-in-place order until further notice. Stay tuned for new date information on the postponed PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park. Now let's get to the webcast turned podcast on Tuesday, April the 14th. Hello, everybody. I'm Joe Castellano, and welcome to the Sports Virus webcast podcast. And for the last two-plus decades, I've worked as a statistician for CBS Sports in addition to doing these podcasts. And the bulk of that time I've been Greg Gumbel's NFL stats man. And along the way, I have met some great friends who are very talented, behind-the-scenes folks who are integral to the network presentation of the games that we love to watch. And of course, we all miss watching sports right now. And today we decided to take a closer look behind the scenes and bring in two of the best in the business as far as statisticians are concerned. Ethan Cooperson, who is a research analyst for Stats Perform. They provide a lot of the stats that you hear about and read about on television. And he is also Jim Nantz's stats man. And Ed Spieda, who is the statistician for Joe Buck on the Fox side. And we also have a tribute to our good friend and fellow stats man, Chuck Gardner, who passed away on Sunday. Let's welcome in the big-time stats guys, Ethan Cooperson and Ed Spieda. Great to have you guys with us. I love what I'm seeing right here from these two guys wearing their baseball caps. They're very casual, and that's the way they are. Ethan and Ed, thanks a lot for coming on and talking about some stats with us.
Thanks, Joe. Great to be with you.
Visitor's always first, huh? Visitor over home.
Yeah, we got a little rivalry with these two guys. They definitely compete with each other as two of the best, as I said, in the business. I'm curious to get going here, and I know a little bit about this with both of you, but just how you started. We'll start with you, Ed. I know that you got started as kind of a fluke at Villanova, where you weren't growing up wanting to be a stats guy. This kind of fell in your lap, right?
I accidentally stumbled into the business. I lost out in the basketball ticket lottery as a sophomore. I ran into a kid in my dorm who worked in the sports information office. He said, come work in our office. You can stuff envelopes for news releases and pull cables. Sit underneath the basket. We'll give you $35, and you can watch the game on the court. And 25 years later, I got a wife out of that office, two kids, and my part-time job became my real job. So it was very fortuitous that I was in the 10% that lost the lottery that day.
Wait a minute, you got a wife out of the deal. Your wife, Christy, you met at that game or just, while you were at Villanova?
She was a work study in the office, and I met her through working in the Villanova SID office, and, it was, I guess, fate. I was proposing a Wildcat costume several years later.
Wow. And she also still works as a timeout coordinator, I know.
We beat Temple that day, and they were ranked 16th in the country, by the way.
Oh, cool.
That
is very cool. That's a very cool story. Ethan, I'm curious about you. I mean, I know you wanted to be a stats guy going way back. And by the way, both of these men are from Philadelphia. So, I mean, there's something in the air in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But growing up there in Philly, what turned you on to sports and stats specifically?
My story was after I graduated college, I think I wrote letters to every TV network, every newspaper, every radio station that covered sports. Probably the only callback I got was from a legendary gentleman, Harvey Pollack, who was the statistician, longtime statistician with the 76ers and had covered NBA statistics for many years. And he left me a message and said, you can come in and intern. And my interview for that internship consisted of driving around Philadelphia as he rambled on about the NBA, the history of the NBA, and what he did for the Sixers. And at the end of that, he said, oh, and by the way, if you want to come in Tuesday, you can start Tuesday. And of course, I did. And for about the first year working with Harvey, I would try to impress him with my knowledge of the Sixers. And I'd run off random anniversaries that on this date in Sixers history, this happened and this event happened. And one day I said to him, Harvey, we got to figure out what was the last Sixers triple overtime game? Well, that night the Sixers played a triple overtime game. So at some point, Harvey kind of got sick of my pestering him with all these stories. And the radio broadcaster, Jim Cosimore, and he said to him, I got a guy here I think should do your stats. I think he kind of knows this a little bit. He would be pretty good doing your stats. So that was my start, was doing Sixers radio in 1994. And that eventually led me to various other gigs along the way. NBA on NBC when I moved to Chicago in 1994. That was my big opening initially. And then that led to working with a gentleman Ed knows very well, Joe Buck, for 3 years on Fox football. And then ultimately moving over to CBS with Greg and then with Jim Nantz.
Yeah, these guys have worked with so many great announcers. There's a lot of accolades. We'll get to a graphic a little bit later about some of the stunning numbers of big events that they have covered. But we're going to bring in a surprise guest. It's kind of like, this is your life. This is your life, Ethan Cooperson. Here's one of the guys that I've worked with before, actually, on the play-by-play side, doing the Division II baseball championship. Big, big stuff right there. But Big Ten football, this is your play-by-play guy, Brandon Gaudin, joining us now. Brandon, tell us a little bit about working with Ethan Cooperson when you first laid eyes on him to now that you've been working with him, I guess, for a few years. What kind of impressions did you have of Ethan?
Well, laying eyes on him now is a little bit of a surprise, Joe, because I wasn't ready for that father time beard he's got going there.
Looks like Joe Thornton, actually, or Brent Burns.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Working with Coop is obviously, look, everybody knows how good he is at his job. And I've never met Ed. Ed, hello. But Ed's reputation precedes him as well. These guys are as good as it gets from that standpoint. What makes Coop fun is that Coop is so eclectic. The Coop outfits that he wears, the fedora hats, always locating the nearest Starbucks, coming in with Snapple. There are certain things about Coop, these little idiosyncrasies that make him so much fun and unique to be around above and beyond the obvious talent that he has. I mean, he went to Harvard. I don't know if that's true. I've never actually seen the degree. But the numbers do bear out that he probably did go to Harvard, so he's smarter than I'll ever be, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was a linguistics major, Ethan. I mean, linguistics to sports stats. That's an interesting transition.
This is true. At some point, I wasn't going into a career in linguistics. I realized I should probably do what I really love. And I do have to credit a college classmate of mine. Like my college friends were very used to hearing me spew out Flyers stats and bemoan Flyers losses at all hours of the day and night. And one of them did say to me, you should get a job as a sports writer for the Flyers. Well, it didn't exactly go that way. I could turn out to be a sports writer for the Flyers, but I did find something related to sports and, of course, started in Philadelphia. So there was a logical step there. And I will say that sometimes in our business, and I know Ed's great at this, sometimes we do things that go beyond the numbers. It's not all about pure numbers. every now and then we do something that's a little bit more fun, humorous, that has nothing to do with numbers, but adds something to the broadcast.
And thanks to Brandon Godden. I think he dropped off there. I would have asked him something else, but I think he left us. But that was great that he was able to chime in. Ed, oh, wait, no, there's Brandon. Brandon, one more thing, you know, as far as Ethan is concerned, just any stats guy that you've worked with, what are the main things that you're looking for? You know, what are you using as far as criteria to distinguish, you know, one stats guy from another that does a really good job for you?
Yeah, I think a good stats person, and again, I'm pretty young in the business, but and I've learned a lot of this from Ethan, a good stats person understands the feel of what the viewer at home is looking for. So they're not just giving you numbers to give you numbers that they're noticing. They're giving you trends or storylines. Coop will often slide a note across that says, hey, remember that missed field goal in the second quarter. Might want to bring that up. So he's thinking in the mind of the viewer, and that's what makes, I think, a good stat person so valuable, is they will step outside of just providing numbers and provide numbers and storylines with context. And one of the great things Coop does too, and you can hear it, not that Jim Nance isn't coming up with a lot of this stuff on his own, but when you listen to Jim Nance go to break, and I'm sure, that's funny, Ed, yes, you may. when you listen to Jim Nance go to break, he always seems to have an interesting nugget that he seamlessly passes along to the viewer. And I know from working with Ethan that 9 times out of 10, that's coming with Ethan from Ethan. Now, what's funny is if Ethan has something good, he's going to let you know about it because he'll slide it across. And if you don't get it on the air, he is tapping that thing like this. So I know when I'm going to break, if Ethan's got something he thinks should belong on that touchdown replay, he's pounding the heck out of that note until I get that in there.
Can't we say that you're Jim Nance are good in spite of Ethan? I mean, isn't that the real truth?
That's probably true. Yes. Ed, I think that's a better way to put it.
Brandon, thanks a lot for the time. We'll catch up again. I mean, I loved working with you, and we had a chance to sit next to each other doing the baseball. And good luck. Stay healthy.
Thanks. Good to see you guys. Talk to you later.
Our Big Time Stats Guys webcast podcast continues in just a moment. Jones goes back near the wall, shading the sun, and he dropped it. He lost the ball in the sun. Let's put the sun to good use at home with a SunPower residential solar system. Your SunPower elite dealer, SunFirst Solar, has a wide range of financing options, and they provide the finest customer service from start to finish, regardless of size or scope. SunFirst Solar offers the highest efficiency systems, newest technology, and the best warranty in the world. SunFirst Solar offers the most competitive price while not compromising on quality. This summer, let the sun heat your pool and eliminate your energy bill. Don't drop the ball. Call SunFirst Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. And get your SunPower solar system today. Let's get to Ed a little bit about just some of your favorite events. You guys, and we'll show this graphic as we go along, that you guys have combined for 29 Super Bowls. You've worked Super Bowls together. I know that. So, Ed, is the Super Bowl really the pinnacle for you? You know, what are your favorite events to cover?
I feel like any event that Steve Scheer produces is my favorite event to cover.
I think he's watching right now, so there's that.
Okay. I didn't know that. That was okay.
Great producer for Fox, by the way, former CBS producer. Go ahead.
I hate working the Super Bowls. I'm a wreck, man. It's like the one game a year I do not like working. I would work 18 high school football games in Mobile, Alabama before.
Really?
It's just different. I don't know. I don't mind being exposed as a fraud in front of like 100 people, but like 100 million people are watching. So like, I just don't want that to be the form I screw up.
What about you, Ethan? I mean, is the pressure something you feel like you thrive on? I've worked with you in those situations. I did notice a little bit that you get a little more jacked up. I mean, you're pumped for the Super Bowl. Not that you're not for every game, but there's just a little extra Ethan Cooperson when it comes to a Super Bowl.
I will say, too, that any NFL game carries with it so much importance that any NFL game, to me, is so exciting. I would say that a regular season NFL game probably compares with an NBA Finals broadcast. just so much intensity and so much riding on every play. Super Bowls are tough for a stats guy, in my opinion, because there are so many replay machines. There are so many cameras. There are so many dignitaries, VIPs that you want to show during a broadcast. The chance to get that very good stat on the air is so limited. You feel like you have just a few opportunities in the course of a game to get a good stat on the air. I think of Super Bowls where I'll do 30 pages of notes to prepare, and maybe two or three of those items, 120 items on those 30 pages, two or three of those will get on the air. You better hope you had a couple good ones because you don't have a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, I'm curious for both of you guys because you're working with the top play-by-play announcer, play-by-play and analyst teams on your respective networks. And I'll start with you, Ed. There he is, Joe Buck. You know, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, I love the chemistry that they have. And I'm just curious for you, Ed, when you first started with them, how you were able to gain their trust. And, you know, when Troy Aikman first joined that team, you know, what it was like to work with him and make sure that you can provide everything you could for both of them.
And let's chime in, too, very quickly. Troy Aikman, Cowboys quarterback, Ed Spida, Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Oh, yeah, that
whoever
had to
devised,
be.
Whoever devised that pairing.
Yeah, who really who thought of that one? Exactly.
Let's chime in. Ethan Buck, ex, or Ethan Tuberson, ex-Joe Buck's that guy. Ed Spida, current, no. it's intimidating. I mean, you know, the guy is, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. He's won three Super Bowls. You know, I used to sit up in the 700 level and make bad jokes about him. And you know, now the guy invites me to Thanksgiving every other year. So, I kind of feel like maybe I shouldn't use some of the language I used back in the, you know, as a misguided 18 to 25-year-old youth in the stands for some of those games. But, you know, Troy's he's a class act. I mean, you can tell why he's a professional. And, you know, it's funny. People think, you know, he thinks he cares if the Cowboys win. He doesn't care. He's a professional. You know, he's there to do a job. And, you know, the Cowboys were his employer. And, you know, he calls it fair no matter who's in the game. But, you know, everyone, you know, sees him and they're like, oh, Troy. I mean, quick anecdote. One time we were doing an Eagles game and there was a guy in the stands and he was riding the whole game. And Troy doesn't usually – you know, I didn't want to acknowledge these people, give them credibility just because it's, you know, we're doing a broadcast. We're not going to, whatever. Whole game. Finally, the end of the game comes, and Troy looks down at the guy, and, you know, the guy's got his attention. So he points to the guy, right? He holds up his Super Bowl winning, you know, ring finger, and he's like, points to it, and he goes, and then he points to the guy, and he goes,
zero.
And all the guy's buddies in this section just turned on the guy. It was so funny because like Troy had one bummer. You know, he was kidding, but like, you know, it's stories like that. It's you know, it's great to see it, and they're great guys. I mean, like I said, they're very good to my family. You know, they allowed me to ride on the planes. I mean, you know, my kid got into the University of Miami. Joe's the first guy to send the, you know, congratulatory text. So it's you know, it's intimidating, yeah, because, you know, obviously they're elite broadcasters and professionals, but, you know, they're friends. You know, I was at Joe's wedding a couple of years ago. I mean, they're friends.
We have some audio here that we're going to play of Joe Buck. He was on a radio show talking about Ed Spida and his fandom, his Eagles fandom. So let's listen to this and get a feel for what it's like in that Fox booth.
Doing every minute of it. You know, my stat guy, as you know, Ed Spida, is probably listening right now with a big smile on his face. And, you know, wherever we are, wherever Troy and I are in the booth, we're in Dallas getting ready for a Dallas Giants game, or we're in Green Bay or whatever, the Eagles game is always on, and every time they score a touchdown, Spida makes Philadelphia proud by turning to Aikman and doing like the eagle wings flapping. I'm never far away from the Eagles every Sunday of my life.
That is really good stuff right there.
True story. I'll look down at Troy every time. You know, if the Eagles are playing the same time our game is going on, and they throw it to the Fox studios in LA, and they'll show an Eagles highlight. and Carson Wentz, and I'll come back, and he'll be like, okay.
All right, I got to imagine, I'm just going to guess that with Ethan, even though I know he's a big Philadelphia sports fan, you know, all the teams, it would more likely to be a Flyers hockey game that he'd be watching before his game. He's wearing a Flyers jersey right now. So, Ethan, what's it like in your booth before a game? You know, are you doing that, or are you so immersed in getting ready with your stats that you don't have time?
There's certainly some of both. back in the January of 2001 on Super Bowl Sunday, the broadcast associate with CBS who worked at Super Bowl, along with you, Joe, Ryan Galvin, I recall his disgusted shaking of his head as he said to me, "You have to be the only guy in the world who has to know what happened in the Flyers game today before you can work the Super Bowl." But the reality of it is that if the Flyers are playing on an afternoon right before an NFL game, I'm so scrambling to get everything prepared for that game up to the last minute, up to kickoff, sometimes after kickoff, that there's really no time to do anything else. So the prep work for an NFL game is so extensive, both the work with stats perform and then the things that come up on Sunday. Tony Romo off the cuff will come in on Sunday with five new ideas or things he wants me to look up. The prep work goes on pretty much from the time the previous game ends, the previous week's games end, to Sunday at 1 o'clock or 4:25 when the game kicks off. It's hard to do much else besides work on that game.
How about the different announcers for both of you guys? Because yeah, we're mostly talking about Joe Buck, Jim Nantz. I'm curious, Ethan, you know, you got Tony Romo, who was a newcomer, and how maybe he broke in, you know, just as far as from your perspective. And then when you switch, and both of you guys do this, where you'll switch from doing television, let's say, on a Sunday, and Ethan, you go and work with Kevin Harlan on a Monday Night Football game. And again, you guys work on that same telecast together in different capacities. But making that switch and going to the different announcers and their different styles, you know, what kind of a challenge is that?
It's a huge challenge because, especially now, NFL games on television, there's a graphic to tell you the down and yards. There's a graphic to update individual player stats after every play. So much of the nuts and bolts is in your hands. You don't need to worry about that, and you can think a lot more creatively. Spend that time trying to come up with interesting tidbits, as well as sort of answering the questions that Tony Romo has in-game. And Tony is very unpredictable. Comes up with all kinds of questions during the game. Most of them are very relevant and very interesting, but you can't predict it. So you have to be on your toes thinking about interesting storylines, coming up with things, and then answering his questions. Sometimes he actually asks the questions on the air. You know, maybe Ethan could get this for us, and I better get it. But then you go to Kevin Monday nights, and Kevin is so descriptive about the plays, you have to be on radio. You have to set the stage, distance, all what's the score, what's the time on the clock. You're updating that so that there's very little time to come up with those creative, interesting stats. And whatever you come up with better be something that can be phrased very succinctly to get on to the next play, because anything that's too wordy is not going to get on the air.
We'll have more with Ethan Cooperson and Ed Sfida after this from Sun First Solar. We all know that solar systems make financial sense and environmental sense, and when it comes to choosing the best installation crew in the business, Sun First Solar should be your first choice. Sun First Solar has provided solar excellence since 1984. They are SunPower Elite Commercial and Elite Residential installers with a reputation for technical excellence, innovative design, fair pricing, excellent customer service, and end-to-end quality and competence. Sun First Solar is a family business devoted to treating their employees, customers, the community, and the environment with respect, and they are devoted to renewable energy and sustainability throughout the Bay Area. There is no roof or project that is too complicated. Sun First has successfully installed solar on Spanish tile roofs, metal roofs, and very steep roofs. They also have extensive experience in solar ground mounts and solar pool heating. Competitive pricing, expert consultation, and the best warranty. Go local and get your SunPower solar system from Sun First Solar today. Call Sun First Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. Ed, I'll go to you too. I mean, because you've got Joe Buck, but then you might be working with Adam Amin on an ESPN game or others that you work with, and they all have different styles, and you know they're from different generations too. I mean, one announcer might really like a certain kind of stat, and another one might say, no, I mean, I'm not going to use that. Like in baseball, I always think of war. It's something that I'm not interested in, but you know, a lot of the young announcers, young people are interested in something like that.
Is Ethan wearing a choker before we get to that? What's that? All right, I'm sorry.
it looks like that, yeah.
I'm trying. You know, different guys, you're right, different eras, different generations. I mean, you know, Joe is a very young 50, and, you know, Adam is 35. So, you know, it's kind of weird. Like, Joe is like a brother in terms of age for me, and Adam's like a, you know, I got a son that's 19, 18 years old. You know what I mean? So it's different generations and you know, they have a different feel for stats and, you know, what it means to incorporate them into a broadcast. And, you know, Adam looks to me more for historical stuff because, you know, I'm a little older and maybe some of my memories are beyond what he remembers. And, you know, Joe looks at me maybe more for contemporary stuff that we're on the same wavelength with. So, you know, you do have to advance and adapt. And, you know, I've worked the ESPN high school package for 10, 15 years, and I've gotten to know a lot of great announcers that have become the next guy. I mean, Justin Kutcher was the first guy to do that package. And then it was Adam, and then it was Jason Benetti, and then it was Kevin Brown. And now it's, you know, Jay Alter. So, you know, it's fun to see these guys come up and grow and, you know, all the while still keeping my franchise safely I know where the bread is buttered, and then, you know, I'm just making sure that the next, you know, maybe the franchise decides he wants to walk away and, you know, go to Hollywood or, you know, I don't know, but you know, I'm making sure that I got a little plan B or C insurance lined up, you know, in case, you know, the franchise is doing something different.
I'm curious too about the nuts and bolts of you guys doing stats. Like, you know, like Brandon Gaudin was referring to Ethan, you know, hammering down, hey, you better do that. There's the motion, there's a tap on the shoulder, there's all that. But even what you do as far as your stat board versus, you know, using a dry erase board or using Post-its or like, here, I'm going to show you, this is what I use with Gumball. He can't even read my handwriting half the time, but it's on an iPad. So you can, you know, you can see what Patriots have never lost at home to a team with 10 plus losses entering the game. Now, did I come up with that myself? No, that came from Stats Perform, the company that CBS uses, and we're on with them. We're instant messaging during the game. So there's the keeping the stats, they're showing it to the announcer. There's the dry erase board, and there's communicating with somebody to find out records and stuff like that. Sat right there. It doesn't come off the top of your head. So there's a lot to deal with, right, Ethan? Let's go to Ethan first on that one.
Yeah, there are so many cases where a stat has gotten on the air and it's made me look really good. Oftentimes there are the Stats Perform programmers who are supporting us. As you mentioned, there was a stat in the NCAA tournament 2019. Brandon Clark of Gonzaga had 35 points and 5 block shots. He was the third player ever to do that in an NCAA tournament game. Shaquille O'Neal and David Robinson were the first two. Well, two of my colleagues at Stats Perform, Sam Hovland and Evan Boyd, really drove that. They initiated the idea, and I just sort of finalized it. I sort of tapped the puck into an empty net because they set me up perfectly. They had the idea. So there's a ton to manage, and it's tough because you don't want to lose track of the game as you're digging into records. But to answer your question about method, maybe it's old school. I write things down, pen and paper. Everything's written down, pen and paper. I write it on 3x5 cards. Jim Nance very often, he doesn't like a card that I give him. It's on the floor in 2 seconds. Sometimes it's on the floor, but then he'll use the stat, which amazes me because I'm assuming that he didn't like it. So you never know. But, that's my method. I'm very much old school. I use pen and paper, and everything I give to the announcers is handwritten.
What about now? We're looking at some of these stat boards. That one of them we saw was was signed by everybody at the Super Bowl. That was pretty cool.
That's a keepsake I like. Yeah, from the Super Bowl, I had the entire crew sign it. I think the two most obvious signatures on there, as I saw, were a gentleman named Virus. You might know who that is.
Sports Virus.
And I believe Tony Romo is very noticeable there too.
What about you, Ed? You're married to that dry erase board. Is that your key component there? And your wife helps you out with the stats too. There's Christy, who does timeout coordinating work with Fox as well. It's all in the family there. But what about you as far as the tools that you use to make sure that you can get the stats correct there?
I'm the tool, she said. No, okay. It's you have lots of sources. I mean, you know, it takes a village, yada, yada, yada. But I mean, there are, you know, agencies like, you know, the shop that Mr. Kuberson works at and some other places that, you know, provide you with a lot of stuff. The team PR departments, the league, you know, and you read it, you go into the, you know, the week and you prepare as much as you can. And then sometimes the starting quarterback, you know, breaks his ankle in the first play and, you know, you throw it all out the window. But, you know, other times it's, you know, it's gospel and you have to go with it. So, I mean, you never know, Joe. I mean, it's, you know, you do this, obviously, and, you know, what's your answer to this question?
I mean, I just think there's a lot of different ways to do it. I switched to the iPad and I really like doing that. But I think it's mostly because Greg Gumbel got tired of the Post-its being all over the place, and then he'd go to the airport and the Post-its would be on his shoes. You know, some stat from the first quarter was at the airport. So we decided, hey, do something different. I came up with the iPad. I like that. You know what I'm really...
It depends on how good your handwriting is.
My handwriting is terrible. So I really like to know too, and this is hard to think about because there's so many stats that you've come up with, but the best stat ever, and you guys sent me, I mean, we're going to try to show some of the stats that you consider to be, you know, maybe in the running for your best stat ever. Ethan, you had one that was pretty creative there in a Steelers game. We're hopefully going to show that. But I'm sure you have like a dozen of them in your mind. But, you know, where the payoff was great and you were like, yeah, I'm really glad we got that in. I'll say this year in the playoffs, when you got this, we're looking at it right now, the NFL fact that there's never been an 11-10 final in NFL history. And all those previous games, over 12,000, that was cool. And I'm in my mind right now is the one that you had about the heaviest player ever to score a touchdown in a playoff game or something like that.
The heaviest player to catch a touchdown pass in a postseason game, Dennis Kelly.
Okay, there you go.
Caught a touchdown pass. And what you talk about for a million things, believe me, I didn't sit there on Wednesday noon and look up, just in case, I didn't happen to look up who was the heaviest to catch a touchdown pass. But it's, I'll say this too, it's not something where I thought it was that phenomenal, and so many people enjoyed it. I think it speaks to the fact that it's a fun stat. It's not really a deeply analytical stat in this world of analytics. No, it's not a deeply analytical stat. It's a fun stat. And you know what? So many people can relate to that. Hey, a fat guy scored. This is fun. So that's, and yes, I got loads of text messages about that. And I think the theme of it was, hey, that's fun.
Ed, I know you had some really good ones as well. There's one that we were able to capture that I think it came out on Twitter. It was more of a historical note relating Troy Aikman to Sebastian Janikowski. That was a fun stat right there that we're looking at right now.
Yeah, I mean, usually, you know, my favorite stats are actually the ones that Ethan comes up with, and then my friend text me and said, how come you didn't come up with something like that? But, you try and do fun stuff with Troy because he's an analyst, and, you know, it relates, or, you know, it's obviously his playing career is you know, over 20 years, and there's each year there's like two or three guys that maybe still had a connection to him in the league. And, you know, I know Joe's going to play with it and run with it and kind of just put it out there, and it's going to make fodder. And, you know, I think that's cute. I mean, I'll do it with, you know, Ethan knows, you know, work a Mets game with Keith Hernandez or Darling. If there's a way you can tie the past and the present and, you know, match the analyst you're working with the current guys, odds are that's going to get on because the announcer thinks that's really cool. I think it's really cool. And, you know, I like those kinds of stats.
Yeah, those are always great. One of the fun parts about seeing you guys when I run into you on the road, and that happens every once in a while, is talking about your itinerary, your travel itinerary. It is unbelievable, folks. I mean, anybody in the normal world is going to be blown away by what they hear when they hear about what these guys do, because you guys are able to make one game after another over the course of a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all these cities all over the place. We're taking a look right now at, yeah, I love this one, this handwritten itinerary that Ethan put together from the Intercontinental Hotel. And you can see, I mean, this guy was everywhere over a given weekend. We'll start with you, Ethan, there, just looking at that. There had to be instances where you were really worried about not making a flight and not making a game.
There have been times, boy, the length of games right now, I hate to say it, but those college football games can go 3.5 hours, and we're kind of wired to try to get out of town and get to the next flight and get to the next city we can. But Ed will remember that we both ended up city Thanksgiving Sunday and Thanksgiving week. It's a great week in a lot of ways. It's the toughest week of the year for us. We go from Thursday to sometimes Saturday to Sunday to a Monday game. It happened that the Monday game was in Seattle. Not exactly easy ways to get from Kansas City to Seattle. So Ed and I were stuck for Kansas City Airport on that Sunday night. Not much to do in Kansas City Airport, and looked at each other and said, "Man, you look like hell." Because we've been through hellish travel. that's inherent to the business. We like to think that the reason we're doing all that is because we're good at it and people want us to work. So that week, though, we'll try anybody.
Ethan, what's the best meal of the week?
The best meal of the week, as I've said, is the meal on Sunday in the press box when you got to your game okay. And everything happened okay. And another thing I'll say too, the easiest 3 hours of the week sometimes is the 3 hours that start when the ball kicks off on Sunday, because that's what we do naturally. Everything else about rushing for flights and travel, that's not so natural and that's not so easy. When the game starts, that's sort of natural.
I mean, when you run into weather problems, because for me one time, I was getting snowed in Chicago. There was no way I was going to make it to Buffalo. So I ended up getting a rental car and drove from Chicago to Buffalo. And I think that was about 10 hours. And I fortunately made it there and did the game. It's scary. It's a scary feeling, Ed. And I think for most people in the sports broadcasting business, if they get to 1K on United, you know, 100,000 miles or on any airline, for me, it's United, we are pretty excited about that. But for you, I mean, I saw your airline mileage. Oh my gosh! I mean, you're pushing 200,000 miles in a year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to brag, but the president was late tonight for the task force meeting because he was talking to the airlines, you know, about bailouts and, you know, schedules. And I got conference in just in because of, you know, the mileage situation that I've flown personally. But it's tough, Joe. I mean, that's. You know, that's like, I think Ethan says that too, and we agree. I mean, it's a relief when the ball kicks. I mean, you know, your worst fear is, you know, the 4 hour drive after the college game and, you know, podunk wherever to get to the hub city. And, you know, you're sleeping at that Atlanta Airport Marriott or the, you know, the Charlotte, Comfort Inn for an hour. And you know, you got to get up and get going to the next place. I mean, that's the worst part of the job. That's not the glamour. It's not, you know, everybody sees us on Thanksgiving waving hi to our families and, you know, getting our names dropped. And, you know, Ethan got shown on the Super Bowl 18 times last year. But, you know, it's not the glamour of that. I think it's the anxiety of, you know, not getting there, man. It's that part sucks.
Was there one that sticks out in your mind, Ed, that you were worried you weren't going to make it?
I'm always there on Sunday, okay?
What about you, Ethan? Was there any time where you thought, man, I may not make this game?
Let's just say that the 2 years, not just last year, but the last 2 years, there were weather issues the weekend of the AFC Championship game. Both of those happened to be in Kansas City, and both years I had to make rather drives to get to city, rather lengthy drives to get to Kansas City. I'll just leave it at that. I will say that one thing that helps us greatly is that the NFL games are so intense, so much going on. For me, it doesn't how little sleep I might have had. NFL game, you're working so hard. There's no time to be tired. Baseball games are a little slower, might be a little different. An NFL game, the adrenaline will carry you.
Okay, we do have a few Facebook comments I have to get to. Bill Thayer, the great producer now for CBS Sports and CBS Sports Network, is asking if that's a real Villanova diploma behind Ed Sfida. Is it really a Villanova diploma back there?
There are two real Villanova diplomas. There's mine and there's my wife's, okay? So we have two, okay? However, the next diploma in our house will be coming from this institution.
Oh, yeah, your son. Okay.
My son.
Okay, well, that's good. Ethan, you're getting a comment here from Kristen Serwin Lanigan saying, hey, Coop, no stats guy like you out there. Nice compliment.
Oh, hold on.
Well, this might be a close friend. Just leave it at that. Might.
All right, well, we'll take that one. That's good. Okay, so.
No, I will say this. In the time of bipartisan stat guys, sometimes a stat guy will pick up the phone and help a brother out as he's driving 4 hours from Kansas City to wherever in the middle of the night just to keep him awake so he makes his game. There's no network bias. I mean, we're all in this together, Joe. You know what I mean?
We are all in this together.
And I'll add, there is something that we do that a lot of people don't understand, but it is, we can kind of commiserate with each other. And that's kind of the fun part. And it's also fun when a colleague gets on the air, or like when our colleague Dave Freed was run over by Joel Embiid in Madison Square Garden and couldn't stop playing up his moment for that. We all enjoy that, and that makes it a lot of fun.
All right, so, you know, here we are. We're almost to the end of this podcast webcast, and this is actually normally a Giants podcast, believe it or not. We haven't mentioned the San Francisco Giants yet, but we are going to, because it actually does relate to these two gentlemen. They're both from Philadelphia. They cover a lot of baseball as well, and because they're in Philly and they saw a lot of Gabe Kapler as the manager of the Phillies. Ethan actually, by the way, lives in Chicago now, but he's from Philly and he knows all about Gabe Kapler. I want to get your thoughts on the new Giants manager, if and when there's ever a baseball season. What can we expect from him here in San Francisco? Ed, we'll start with you.
Well, first of all, this young lady used to love the way he wore a uniform.
back
in his Philly days. So the female population, you know, can really enjoy Gabe in that regard. I like Gabe a lot. I unfortunately, there were some probably growing pains, and you know, I wish that, you know, to the Giant fans out there, he becomes the next Terry Francona or Bill Belichick and goes to win multiple championships, you know, in a city somewhere else. You know, I think Gabe's a smart guy. He's a personable guy. He's a very intelligent guy, and he's progressive in his ideas, and I think the game has gone that way. So, you know, your great broadcasters there of Mr. Kiper and Kruko, they're, you know, they might question some of his moves since they're a little bit more old school, but I think Gabe will have success. I really do.
What about you, Ethan? Gabe Kapler.
Well, I'm going to give you some numbers as a stats guy I would like to do. His last two Phillies teams, 2018, they lost 28 of their last 40 games. Ooh. 2019, they lost 16 of their last 25. Oh. Basically, those teams were in contention and dropped out, collapsed at the end. What is it about this guy that his teams have really gone in the tank at the end of the season? Well, until he does otherwise, until he actually can sustain success over a season, I'm not convinced. Maybe if there's a 100-game season this year, it'll be just perfect for him.
Now you guys.
I'm trying to provide hope to people in San Francisco. And this guy's being measured. I'm telling Giants fans out there.
Well, we'll revisit this at some point. Then we'll call this a statistician's disagreement, and we will see whose words prove perfect.
I'm just glad. I'm just glad you guys aren't mad at the Giants fans here, you know, for 2010. But you were so thrilled by 2008 and winning the World Series that had to make up for any anger you might have for any other teams out there, because winning in 08, that was pretty cool. They hadn't won in a long time, right, Ed?
I might have accidentally spilled my soda on Jeremy Alfield last time he came through the broadcast booth. Just say.
Ethan, you're still a big
fan. I'll just say that Ryan Wilson's not high on my list of favorite people.
All right. You know, somebody who really was high on our list of favorite people passed away on Sunday, Chuck Gardner. He was a stats man for Vern Lundquist for over 20 years. We're going to hear from Vern in a little bit. And he worked for, you know, a number of different announcers. Just a great guy. I mean, the thing I'm going to remember about Chuck Gardner is that he was genuine. He was authentic. He was such a wonderful person to be around, witty. And I'll tell you, we had so many laughs on the headset. Anytime I worked with him, you know, I've worked with Ethan in that capacity a lot, and we have a lot of laughs on the headset. And it was that way with Chuck Gardner. That's what I'm always going to remember about him. Ethan, I know you worked a lot with Chuck. What a great guy. And it was really sad to hear that news on Sunday.
Yeah, great at his job. And as you said, he was great at his job, but he never took himself so seriously. He always kept things lighthearted, both on headset, off headset, with such phenomenal announcers like Vern Lundquist, like Marv Albert. And yet he was never... he was never stressed out. He was always witty. He had a dry East Coast that we all appreciated. And I always enjoyed when I would be in the courtside and I would be pushing some sort of unusual statistics, and Chuck would say, get security to the graphics truck. It was always fun with him. Kept things lighthearted.
What about you, Ed? Did you have some dealings with Chuck Gardner?
Always smiling. I mean, my first year with Fox, I was on a D crew, and we would have him a lot in terms of as a remote truck stats guy, and got to work with him 6-8 games that first year, and I, you know, go through DC and see him all the time. Good man, always smiling, just always, you know, it's seemed genuine. The loss, you know, his health had obviously been failing in recent years, but he always greet you with a smile, a handshake, and a, you know, you could, I mean, his work was always great, obviously, on top of that, but just a better person.
Well, I appreciate both of you guys coming on here. I value our friendships, and it's always fun to see you, and I admire what you guys do, not only for your meal ticket, so to speak, Joe Buck and Jim Nantz, but how you do it for so many different announcers, the way you get to these games and provide top-notch stats that make people go, wow, where'd that come from? You guys are the best. I really, really appreciate your time and doing it, and can't wait to see you soon.
Joe, thanks. And I always enjoyed those rare weeks where I could fill in for you and you had other endeavors during the baseball postseason. And they were big shoes to fill. And I was thankful to have the opportunity.
Thank you for doing that. And Ethan, man, I loved working with you every week. I miss doing that, but at least I get to see every once in a while, you know, on an event like the Super Bowl.
You know me, Joe, all business on headset, never a joke, never anything silly, but let's make it very clear. I hope you, all of your regular, your listeners are very much aware. You're absolutely as crazy.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. And we'll definitely talk again soon. Well, in closing, you know, we mentioned Chuck Gardner and we all loved working with him so much. Such a great guy, great statistician, wonderful person. As I said, here's a little tribute from two CBS announcers who knew him very, very well. First, we have Bill Raftery, and then Vern Lundquist.
People in broadcasting, as well as our CBS team that are assigned during the course of the basketball season, got to know Vern and myself, and of course, cast dispersion occasionally because we did push the clock late in the evening. But it was that smiling imp, Chuck Gardner, that led to the three of us not feeling well the morning before games. That guy had legs. He was smart, prepared, supportive, charming, and most importantly, knew all of Vern's incredible stories. And when you've got a great, great storyteller, maybe the best in show business, all you need is a punch or a push, and the evening goes to the witching hour with a lot of laughter. Chuck with Vern worked during the SEC football season. I would jump in during the NCAA basketball season. He was an integral part of our team. Chuck's laughter, his friendship, his love of life, his love of family, his facile mind, as well as his ability to initiate and maintain lifelong relationships, aptly describes this special human being. Our Lord has a new stat man to keep count of the good guys he permits to enter heaven. Who better to judge character than Chuck Gardner? God bless you. You're in our prayers, John.
We all got bad news a week ago when a friend of all of ours who are involved in sports, Chuck Gardner, passed away. It was not coronavirus. Chuck had battled, he was a diabetic, first of all, and he had battled some health issues in addition to that. he fell in his home a week ago Monday, and his daughter couldn't reach him. They went over and forced their way in and found him unconscious on the floor. He was whisked by ambulance to the hospital. He was diagnosed with low blood sugar. Complications arose, and he just couldn't make it. He was by my side in both football and basketball for about 24 years. We never could decide whether we began working together in 97 or 98. But beyond his ability as a stats guy, and he was among the best in that business, he became a dear, dear, dear trusted friend. Over the years, we shared so many laughs and memories. Chuck Gardner was bright. He was witty. He had a great sense of humor with which he would lance on to people at various times. He got a few people with his wit, and I will miss him deeply, have missed him deeply since I finished my last football game working with Chuck at Army Navy in 2016, and my last basketball tournament at Madison Square Garden, as a matter of fact, the East Regional Finals in 2017. So we've not seen each other in a little bit more than a year, but I was knocked to my knees when his daughter called and told me that he was in serious shape, and then just couldn't make it. I will miss him. My wife Nancy will miss him. Our entire SEC on CBS crew will miss him. And he loved basketball more than he did football. I loved this morning when Suzanne Smith, who was one of our basketball directors and also works in the NFL for CBS, sent me a tweet. I'm not technologically literate, but it had a picture of Chuck and his grandchild, who appeared to be a month old, and was sent out by the Washington Wizards NBA team, for whom he worked for more than 45 years. Chuck Gardner, absolutely one of the best. I knew I wouldn't make it the whole way through. Thank you.
Thanks to everyone for coming on the podcast webcast today. Next week, we'll get back to talking about Giants baseball with former Giants pitcher Sean Estes, who is an analyst on the Giants telecast on NBC Sports Bay Area, works in the studio as well. And we're going to talk about the book Baseball Codes with Michael Duca, who is the co-author of that book. All coming up next week here on thesportsvirus.com. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.